Genesis chapter 50, the final chapter, the dramatic end to an epic story, the last days for two of the Bible's most intriguing characters, and a powerful lesson on accepting forgiveness. We left off as the old patriarch Jacob drew his feet into bed and breathed his last. Now in chapter 50, Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him. Joseph mourns deeply and arranges for the embalming process. Fascinating historical fact, the patriarch of the Jewish faith was embalmed by the Egyptians, the masters of mummification. Just don't get any weird movie ideas in your head. As per Jacob's request, his body is carried all the way back to the Promised Land, to Canaan. So Jacob's whole family, accompanied by all Pharaoh's officials, made the journey to Canaan. And we too say goodbye to Jacob, the young deceiver, the wandering pilgrim, the man who wrestled with God and wouldn't let go, the desperado who came to his senses. Jacob was a changed man, with a limp to remind him with every step. He called upon the God of his fathers and found the mighty one of Jacob, his own shepherd, the rock of Israel. And much, much later, Jesus reminds us that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of the living, not the dead. This is not the end of Jacob's story. But why was it so important to Jacob to be buried in Canaan? Perhaps it was a statement to all his descendants, a proclamation of faith. God promised us a land. Trust in God's promise, even if you don't live to see it. Well, the funeral is over. And you know, it's often after the funeral that family dynamics get dicey. You hold back and keep civil for a time, but when that time is up, well, let's see what happens to Jacob's family. Verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" Now, this is a serious turn. The brothers don't believe that Joseph's forgiveness is real. Sure, when Dad said he had to, he let it go. But with Dad gone, no way he forgives us. So is it true? Is this the end of their innocence with Joseph? Now, put this in perspective. Joseph forgave them 17 years ago. He laid it out, put their sin in the past, embraced them, even presented them to Pharaoh and provided for them. He poured out grace and never wavered. After 17 years, they still wonder if Joseph holds a grudge. It amazes me how hard it can be to accept forgiveness, to really believe it. Some of us can spend years walking with Jesus. He took us back, put our sin in the past, embraced us, presented us to the Father, provided for us. He poured out grace. And yet we still question, what if he holds a grudge? What if he pays me back for my sin? Now, if that's you, read this chapter well. It's no small matter. One of these nights, you need to accept God's forgiveness. Jesus forgave you for a reason, to restore you, to restore your fellowship with God, and to remake you into someone who loves and forgives. Understand that the extent that you limit God's forgiveness toward you is the extent that you limit your fellowship, your love, and your forgiveness toward others. Jesus said, "The one who is forgiven much loves much." But if you don't believe you're forgiven, you won't love, not the way you should. So it doesn't just affect you. It hits your spouse, your kids, your friends, your ministry. So you gotta deal with it. Well, Joseph's brothers doubt. And in verse 16, they send word to Joseph about some instructions their father gave, that Joseph should forgive them. Now, I don't know if the story is genuine. Knowing the brothers, they could have concocted this one. People come up with all kinds of stories to justify their own forgiveness. Dad said you have to. Well, I said the right prayer 10 times. I followed these steps. Take it easy. You don't need a story. You just need Jesus. Notice that the brothers place the forgiveness under human authority, under Jacob. Let's see what happens. Back in verse 17, when their message came to him, Joseph wept. It is the second time we see Joseph weep. He was human, same as us. His tears rolled just as slowly as yours or mine. And this one hurt. Behind those tears are years of struggle. Don't imagine that Joseph didn't face that battle between vengeance and forgiveness. But in his heart, grace won. God's mercy ruled the day. And to hear this now, 17 years later, that his brothers didn't believe it. Verse 18. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Wow, those words are worth repeating. How does Joseph do it? How does he forgive so much so well? Watch his words. "Am I in the place of God?" He recognizes his place and God's place in the realm of justice, vengeance, and the heart of the matter, forgiveness. "Vengeance is mine," declares the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we give up on justice. In fact, God calls us to do justly and calls human government to provide justice. That's Romans 13. But vengeance is different from justice. Vengeance is payback. I heard a great analogy for unforgiveness. You sit across the table from your enemy, a glass of poison between you. You pick it up and drink it down, then wait for your enemy to drop dead. But that unforgiveness is eating away at your insides, not theirs. But Joseph knew his place and he knew God's. He forgave and enjoyed the freedom of a heart unburdened by grudge or vendetta. Why? Because his theology was right. Apart from Christ, forgiveness has no foundation. You can't accept forgiveness because you did wrong, and apart from God, nothing can cover that. But Jesus forgives. He paid the price in full for every sin. And by faith in him, now, if we confess our sins and turn away from them, he is faithful and just to forgive. Whether you need to forgive or you need to accept forgiveness, know your place. If God declares it forgiven, it is forgiven. And God does more than just forgive. He works it for good. Look at verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Joseph doesn't sugarcoat it. They sold him into slavery. But he fixes his eyes on God's plan. God used it for good. And then, verse 22, fast forward several decades, until Joseph is 110 and a great-great-grandfather. And Joseph's final words are words of faith in God's promise. "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So he gives instructions to move his bones and bury him in the promised land. And Joseph died. And that is Genesis. To you believers who still doubt God's forgiveness, stop. God declares you forgiven. The blood of God's Son washes you clean. The resurrection of Jesus proves his power, his faithfulness, his truth. And if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Behold, the old has gone, and the new is here. You are set free. Now walk in that freedom.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
Thank you for joining us for Genesis. I want to extend my sincere gratitude to everyone who made it possible, to our Through the Word team, to our friends at YouVersion, and very importantly, to everyone who donated to sponsor a chapter. For more info on sponsoring a chapter, just click Donate on the main menu on the Through the Word app and website. Thank you so much for believing in us. We do this together. And to all you listeners, time for the next book. Thanks for the journey. Can't wait to see you on the next one. What's that? How many Don Henley song titles did I hide? That's crazy. I wouldn't do that. But if I did, there'd be five. Well, technically four, because Take It Easy was Glenn Frey, but I wouldn't do that.